Let's pray, Ma. Loving Father God, what a privilege it is for us to come together and look unto you, O God, who is everything for us. But for you, we cannot live in this world, O Lord. The world is full of challenges. So many anxious things are going around. But yet, Lord, we are able to live peacefully. We are able to enjoy that joy abundantly. It's only because of you and you alone. Even today as we meditate, Lord, how to continue to live this abundant life, I pray that your presence will not only abide with us, Lord, prepare our hearts and speak to us. Lord, speak. We are ready to obey. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So for the past few weeks, we are continuing to meditate on how to lead this abundant life. John 10:10, God gives and Satan steals. How to stop this stealing and how to enjoy abundantly what God is giving to us, the life that is abundant. So abundant life is possible only when we are able to abide in His presence. Abiding in His presence is nothing but living in His presence. So I just thought abiding is such a strong word. It is a beautiful translation, but living is easy to understand. But living in His presence is worship. So we have seen that ignorant worship is without knowing whom we are worshiping. Maybe we know that we must worship God, but actual question is, do you know the God whom we are worshiping? So, and the next one is, after that knowledge of God, how do I get knowledge of God? Through the word of God and also through my experience. Everything that is written in the Bible, every promise, everything should be exercised and it must become an experience. Only then I will know who the person is. So after knowing the person, the second thing is the means and how I worship. So when I know whom I worship and I know the method to worship, that is informed worship. That is what we read in Romans 12th chapter. It says very clearly, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. But the literal translation, the root word for reasonable service is worship. Buddhiyulla aaradhana. In Tamil, it is beautifully stated, buddhiyulla aaradhana. So there is one worship which we do with understanding, and the other one is, that is informed worship, and the other one is ignorant worship. Very often, no, it is not that we are ignorant of whom we are worshipping, but it becomes so method, and we become that systematic, and sometimes we keep praising God, and we sing songs, we lift our hands, so many things we do it, without even deeply thinking what we are doing. Even then it becomes ignorant worship. See, the Bible says, we all know, we need to worship God and God alone. You'll be wondering why I keep insisting on this worship for the past 3 weeks, I think. Actually, last week when we were together and we almost finished understanding what is the spirit, how we are able to worship God who is in spirit with our spirit. I thought we have finished it. But after that, when I was exercising this spiritual exercise of worship, starting with the thanksgiving, with the attitude of thanksgiving, and then praising God, then realizing His presence, His amazing loving presence, by singing and being realizing in our deeply realizing in our heart, in our soul, and ultimately in the spirit, then I realized how powerful it is. See, worship is not one-time act. Worship continues. That is why I told, worship, living in His presence, is worship. So when I started this one, after that maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes, after thanking God and singing a praise song to Him, then realizing His presence, and my redeemed soul is coming under the subjection of my spirit, my body and my soul coming under the subjection of my spirit, then afterwards, after that few minutes, you know, after this act of worship, when you go and do something, you know, the things are going on so peacefully, so automatically, and things are aligning together. So I thought, this worship is the best thing which we must follow in our life. Why not go little more deeply and understand what is, to whom is our worship for? And we all know it is for God, and we are, and for God alone. See, we need to understand, human beings are created in such a way that we have that nature. It comes out automatically to worship. So that is the reason, you know, sometimes when people are ignorant, they keep worshipping something. Maybe the mud or the stone or a chair or whatever it is, or some person who is very powerful, people keep worshipping. The reason is, we are naturally, we have that ability, human beings, we are created with that ability to worship. But what is God's intention is, we must worship God and God alone. So what we are going to, thus far we have already seen, and what we are going to learn today newly is what I've learned last week. Worship, we need to worship God, that much we know. And how do we worship? What is the means and what is the method we must worship Him? Is worship God in God's way. Very often we think that we need to do our own thing. No, that is prayer. When we worship God, it is not what we want to say or what we want to do is important. God is the focus. God wants us to do something, and God wants to talk with us. It is two-way communication. Prayer is also two-way communication. But in prayer, we ask God, Lord, I need this. This is my requirement. I need this for myself. I need this for my family. I need your provision, your protection, your love. All these things we give as a shopping list. Nothing wrong in that. Who else we can ask? We can ask only our Father, our Heavenly Father. But at the same time, worship is completely different. Worship is, God takes the initiative. It is not what I want to do. I need to realize the presence of God in my spirit. Our redeemed spirit in truth brings the body and soul under subjection. That is what Romans 12:1 says. So when we realize what is the outcome of that, we realize the powerful presence of God. When we realize the powerful presence of God, our mind is renewed. See, again, when you read this 12th chapter of Romans, verse 1, what is the reasonable service? What is the true worship? True worship is nothing but presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice. And what is the result? You are transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm not going into detail of this verse 1, but you must simply understand it is body coming under the subjection of the spirit. When we sacrifice in the Old Testament, we would have read, when we sacrifice, there are so many times we have read the sacrifices. It happens in the temple. God, when he is asking his people to come out, and he is asking Moses and Aaron to go and speak to Pharaoh, when they speak, the word they keep repeating is God's word. Let my people go to worship me. So worship was the central thing both in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. There, when they are brought out from Egypt and they are going towards the wilderness to the promised land, and on the way, we all know in Exodus 20, they are receiving the commandments. Then in Exodus 26, God is speaking to Moses and Aaron, and he is talking about a temple. Temple is a temporary thing, and in the temple, there is sacrifice and there is also priesthood. And what is the temple, the synagogue? It had three parts. I think you would have read that one. It is outer court, holy place, and holy of holies. The outer court represent our body. If you turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, we have already seen this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think it is verse 16, if you turn and see, it says, do you not know that you are the temple and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So what we see in the Old Testament, the outer court, holy place, holy of holies, here we are tripartite being. The outer court is our body, holy place is soul, which soul consists of our will, our emotion, and our mind. Then the holy of holies is the spirit. So that is why worship is, you are in the outer court, you are giving sacrifice. When we become God's temple, our body becomes the living sacrifice. Those days when they sacrificed the dead animals, right? The animals which they have killed, and the blood is taken out, the dead animals were kept in the altar. But here God is asking us the reasonable service. Your worship, the true worship, informed worship is nothing but your bodies. You need to present it as a living sacrifice. There is no fear because God has already, Jesus, he has sent Jesus Christ, his son, and he has given himself as a sacrifice. So when we are giving our bodies as a living sacrifice, what is happening is our will, our emotion, and our mind. Mind is our thinking, our thought process. Everything is coming under the subjection. Is it possible? Yes, it is possible, because Romans 12th chapter clearly says that be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So this becomes a acceptable sacrifice, then we can also think, can I give the sacrifice? Because I am not a priest. Bible clearly says in 1 Peter 2:9, we are royal priesthood. So our body becomes the living sacrifice, and our will, our emotion, and our mind comes under the subjection. So what happens is, when we sacrifice, what is worship? We are talking so many things in the technical terms. Worship is, in simple term, it is nothing but love expressed. God loves me and I love God. Because this we read in Deuteronomy 11th chapter, verse 1, 2, and 13. We see that love is a choice. How God can command love, but love is an action. We need to express that love. In New Testament, Matthew 22, verse 35 and 36, we all know it by heart. We need to love our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. The holistic love. He is not asking us just to say with our mouth, I love you, God. He is asking us in spirit to worship Him. So worship is nothing but love expressed. In the Old Testament, that is in Genesis, this word worship is coming for the first time in Genesis 4:26. It is an amazing passage if you read that particular verse. That is, Adam and Eve are created, and after Adam and Eve, we see Cain and Abel. Then after Cain and Abel, Seth is born. Seth's son is Enos. So Bible says during the time of Enos, Enos is the grandson of Adam, people worshipped God. So what happens till then? Adam and Eve were in the garden, but all we read about Adam is, where are you? And Adam responds. Then what did you eat the fruit? Then he says that the person who gave Eve, you created, you gave us a partner, starts all those things. Again, he replies. Then we see Cain and Abel. Again, God asks him a question. He asks, where is your brother? See, everywhere we see all that is recorded in the Bible, God is asking a question and there is a response. But nearly after 900 years of Adam, Enos is coming, his grandson. And if you read in the Bible, during that time, worship started. So what do we understand today is, worship is not like prayer. Prayer is very important. We all pray. But the surprising thing is, even in our lives, when we are walking so close to God, we give so much, I am talking about myself, I give so much importance for prayer. Lord, there are so many things I must pray for. People have asked me to pray. I give so much of importance for prayer, which is very good. But God, this week, last week, He asked me a question. Are you giving that much importance for worship? See, if we are able to worship God in spirit, truly, and bringing our body and our soul under subjection, our prayer life changes. We feel that victory. We know who our God is. Maybe we would have known it orally, maybe because I've read it in the Bible, maybe because I've experienced him, but worship stands far, far beyond our knowledge and our experience. It is both combination of both things, and we are able to feel in our spirit that God's presence is the only answer. So worship, what is worship? Worship belongs to God and God alone. Worship needs to be done in God's way. Just become silent. Just realize, let your spirit realize that God is love. God loves me not because I am lovely. God loves me because He is love. That is worship. So we need to worship God in God's way. God takes the initiative. God runs the conversation, and I listen to Him. And worship is exchange of love. I know God has done everything for me. I have received mercy. I have received grace. I'm not finished. At the same time, I've received blessings. So worship is living in His presence. Worship is love expressed. So worship belongs to God. We need to worship Him in His way. And worship is love expressed. So worship is nothing but it becomes my way of life. Worship is, I start with worship and I continue in worship. So sometimes when we worship, things happen automatically and we are able to enjoy. Sometimes even after worship, things doesn't happen also. We are able to enjoy everything with that peace that rules in our heart. So worship is the most important thing in our life, which we need to practice. If you are praying every day, just think and see, am I worshiping God? Sometimes what happens, you know, once in a week when we go to church, we do worship. We enjoy the worship. Then we feel that, Lord, I need to continue this worship. But during the week, it becomes so routine and so automatic. I read my Bible, I thank God, and I pray, and that is all. Right? So we need to give time for worship. Start the day with worship. Continue your every moment. It continues because worship is the way we are living. So when we start our day and worship becomes living in His presence. What is worship? Worship is just living in His presence, exchanging my love, what I have, my true love to God through my spirit.
உங்களுக்கு வேத விளக்கம் பாட்காஸ்ட் பிடித்திருந்தால் மறவாமல் சப்ஸ்கிரைப் செய்து கொள்ளுங்கள். உங்களின் மதிப்பீடுகளை ஸ்டார் உடவத்தில் கொடுக்க மறவாதிருங்கள்.